This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and batter up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy. Together, let's drive.
Durzi slides it across. Whoa, this will be taken away, and it's McLeod with speed. Here's in behind the defense. Backhand scores! What a beautiful goal by McLeod! A shorthanded goal, and it's tied this game at two.
That was it for the Sabres offense last night, and the game ends somewhat, well, comically, with two empty net goals. One, the Sabres put in on themselves with the power play. Rob Ray yelling, give them the puck on the broadcast. These are not happy times around the Sabres, who play this weekend, Minnesota and Winnipeg. Paul Hamilton joins me now on the West Shore Hotline, despite the Sabres' woes. For many years, Paul always manages to keep a smile on his face. Right, Paul?
How are you?
Good. Find the humor in it. Find something about it to keep us going here. Another tough season. How about that, Paul? It's not the first time that's ever happened, but it's another sort of example of how the Sabres just find ways.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen it before. I've actually played in games where it's happened before. So, it sometimes happens. Rob's right, though. I mean, somebody on the ice has to have the situational awareness enough to be yelling to Thompson or Quinn, neither of which knew that a delayed penalty was being called, to give them the puck. And I remember Lindy Ruff earlier in this year said that this is a very quiet group, and it was something he was trying to address. He wanted to see more communication, more talking on the ice, and obviously that has not been successful, because the same thing happened in a couple of weeks ago, where they could have had a 6-on-3 for probably around 30 seconds. Instead, they didn't give the other team the puck, and they wound up having a 6-on-3 for about 9 seconds. Mm. And, lost the hockey game. So it's just – and the Bruin game, I think we talked about this. They play pretty good defensively, except for the three different times where the Bruins got behind the defense, and the defense had no idea they were there. And one was a goal, one was a save, and the other they missed the pass. And that's just something that this group, it's something I've been talking about for I don't know how long, probably 3 years since this group has been together. They just leave people in front of the net. They're standing within a foot of them, but they have no idea they're there. And just situational awareness with this group just is awful.
That quiet point is an interesting one. What do you do about it? So if Ruff tried to get his team to be more vocal, and as you say, like, it hasn't really happened, I think that might be tough for an individual to sort of become that, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's more on how you put the team together, I want to say.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, he can address it, but, you know, is he going to get through? I mean, there are a lot of points that they don't get through on. And, you know, it just, you know, some folks maybe when I say this, I don't mean they're actually dumb people, but sometimes the way they play hockey isn't the brightest in the world, and they just don't have that kind of awareness to play smart hockey, and you have to start weeding some of those folks out. Again, it just keeps happening over and over again, and it's happened for two different coaches where they're coaching this team to do two different things, but they couldn't do it either way, you know, on a consistent basis. They do it for a while, but not enough. And, you know, if that's the kind, even if they're great hockey players, if they don't have the hockey mind or the hockey mentality, you got to get rid of them and find other people.
And Dahlin, I'm not sure how he fits into this as the captain of the team, if you consider him quiet, but we did get another look at his temper last night.
Yeah, no, definitely. And he just hates to lose, but unfortunately, you know, when they lose and he tries to do too much, it doesn't work well for him. I mean, the second empty net goal went in off his glove, you know, as on the way down. And that winds up going in the net. And
he snaps the stick.
Yeah. They lead the National Hockey League in empty net goals against. The chart said 23 last night. It says 21 today. Maybe they corrected it. It's still, either way, it leads the league. And it's way too many, whichever the number is. And it just almost seems like every time they pull the goaltender, it's in their net in no time. And, again, that's just – they don't compete hard enough, I think, times with the goaltender pulled, and they lose the battles. The other team gets the puck, and it's down in their net.
That's something where – and this is not meant as an excuse, but it's like the losing takes on that. That's what you see there. I mean, not – just in terms of the micro in one game, but that's like a lost season, last place, all the years of it. It's got to be so demoralizing that I think it would be that much harder. Again, they're paid and paid professionals. It shouldn't exactly be like this, but I think in real terms, it would be that much harder to find that extra effort, you know, that extra juice.
Yeah, and I think you just explained why a lot of fans ask, why do players leave here and do better? Well, you know, a guy like Bogosian, who looked like his career was washed up here, and next there, Montour, or, you know, the list goes on. I mean, guys like Reinhardt and Eichel, they were stars here. I don't think they...
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Went and got better. They just went and played with better people and wound up with Stanley Cups. O'Reilly for a couple of years played better than he did in Buffalo, but he played well in Buffalo, but you always knew he wasn't reaching his, and that's what it is. I mean, you come into the arena and you're out of it by the first of the year, and it's just like, oh, you know, it's like this rock is on top of you that you can't get off of you. And you maybe don't want to be that way, but you're human, you know, and losing just takes it out of you. It takes your soul away after a while when you're doing it year after year. And now the arena becomes like you walk in and it's just like as soon as you walk in, it's like, oh, this again,
yeah,
type of a thing. And then guys leave and all of a sudden they're energized. You know, I'm getting it about Cousins now. Well, Cousins did have a game where he was minus three against Montreal. But, you know, he's scored a couple of goals, I don't know, three or four since he's been gone. But he's in a playoff race now. He went from this losing blah to all of a sudden, wait a minute here, we're in a playoff spot. And now you're energized. Now you're happy. Now you're And it makes a difference.
Only natural, right?
Yeah.
Well, again, we covered this yesterday and have talked about it since the deadline, and they've signed three of their own starting right before the deadline. But if you want a new makeup in your roster, it's going to be harder to do that through free agency. I mean, that's not always the best course anyway, but it's going to have to be trades, and I think we know as fans kind of what to expect there. It's rare, but that might be, you know, what they need. Of course it is.
Yeah, I mean, they made a good trade to get Bo Byram, but now you got to sign him. You know, just having Bo Byram for a year and a half is not good enough. You know, you've got to make him part of your group. He has proven that he's a good player, and it was a good trade. Now, but the trade's not going to be a good trade if after a year and a half he decides he doesn't want to play here or whatever the case may be, and you don't sign him for a long-term deal. And so, you know, those are the types of players you have to keep. And, you know, and then you got to get more of those types of players. And it can't just stop at, well, you traded Cousins. Well, okay, fine, you traded Cousins, but there has to be more. And they have to realize that. They just can't keep rolling out the same group over and over again and hoping this group is all of a sudden going to figure it out after for 3 years they couldn't.
Paul Hamilton on the West Hur Hotline. So Minnesota and Winnipeg these next 2 days, both afternoon games, should be interesting. I don't know why I say that.
Well, yeah, it's back-to-back, and you're playing some good teams here. And, you know, the Utah game, that game was there for them. I mean, it wasn't because of lack of effort. I mean, the effort was there. I don't think they were as good defensively as they were against Boston and Edmonton and Vegas. But still, it was right there for them. I mean, when McLeod scores that goal that we heard before we came on to make it 2-2, all right, there you are. It's 2-2. You're in the game, and you were in the game before the two empty netters. I mean, it's a 3-2 game. Again, if you have some situational awareness, it's a 3-2 game, and you're going on a 6-4 power play. Do they score? I don't know. Their power play has been pretty hot lately. You know, I think it was 5 of 12 at the time when that happened. And you've scored a power play goal in that game. Maybe you got a chance to tie that game and get something out of it. So, you know, they've played some pretty good hockey other than the Detroit game recently. So, you know, maybe they can walk into Minnesota or Winnipeg. It's going to be a tall task for them, especially on a back-to-back. But maybe they can make something out of it. Who knows?
Thinking about Ovechkin much? 7 goals from the record, 6 to tie, 7 to win. And the Sabres are 4 games away for Washington a week from Sunday.
Yeah, I doubt. I mean, it's possible. I mean, a hat trick all of a sudden makes it possible.
Right.
So, well, you know, we'll see. I'll be there. I'd love to at least have an option for it when I'm sitting there on Sunday. So that would be kind of fun. But, it was one of those things where I wasn't really thinking much of it because I didn't think he had too much of a chance. I still don't think he has too much of a chance with Buffalo there. But as I mentioned, if he pulls a hat trick at some point this week, then it definitely is an option.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love how anybody would love how it's coming down to the end of the season. Just makes it that much more dramatic. You know, he's obviously had a long career. Will this have to go into next year? Hank Aaron got close to the Ruth record in 74, but was like 1 or 2 short. The season ended and he was like 1 or 2 short. So it was opening day the next year, he might have hit 73-74. Opening day, he might have hit one, and, you know, real early in the season. But be a shame if it doesn't happen, assuming you want it to happen, which I do, before the end of this season. Otherwise, we've got to wait.
I think a pretty good chance it could. He would have to go into a bit of a slump. I think there's more of a chance for it to happen this season than not, yep. But you never know.
Real close.
Yeah.
Paul, thanks for your time today.
Oh, not a problem. Take care.
Paul Hamilton's appearances on WGR are brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Yeah, a week from Sunday is the Sabres game in Washington. The Capitals don't come back here this year. Quick break, then we'll talk some more. Bulldog is off. This is Mike Schoep on WGR.